invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Bible reading this morning from Philippians chapter 3. It will be on the screen behind me, but if you've got your own Bibles or some sort of device, I encourage you to do that. It's towards the end of the New Testament, Philippians, and it is one of the most powerful passages that we could read out this morning. Let me read it to you from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 down to verse 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jonathan, and good morning, everyone. It was great to see that video of the Easter camp last weekend. And, never underestimate what God does in Easter camps. In fact, I might just do a quick poll here today. So, hands up those people who, at some point in their lives, have been to an Easter camp and it had a very positive impact upon their lives. Just have a show of hands. Yeah, so we've probably got about 85% or 90% of the people here today. And it was fantastic what happened last week. Can I just encourage the church? I know a number of people prayed last weekend. Please continue to pray for the young people who heard the word of the Lord at Easter. Can you do that? Can we agree to pray, not just one off, but that seed that was sown might be seed that bears much fruit, that doesn't get snatched away by the evil one, doesn't fall amongst the thorns, but actually bears much fruit. That'd be a great thing to do, wouldn't it? I haven't actually started preaching. This is just the warm-up. But I want to just share today about the resurrection. Now, I know last Sunday, churches all over the world preached and sang about the resurrection. But I have this conviction that I need personally to talk more about the resurrection. I need to preach that. And I'm going to do that in a steadfast manner today. Jonathan's already given a bit of a heads up about feeling free to respond to the word of God. But I just think it's so critical that we not just know about the resurrection in a sense of academic knowledge, but it actually impacts our lives. So let's pray now, shall we? Heavenly Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, will be acceptable in your sight, that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us and lead us into truth and understanding. I ask this now, Lord, for those people who are listening here in person, but also those folks who are listening online, that we will just hear your word today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had a lot to say about himself. It's interesting when people talk about themselves, sometimes you sort of wonder if they're getting a little bit, a bit boastful and a bit ahead of themselves. There was a famous boxer called Muhammad Ali who used to describe himself in glowing terms. He used to have a phrase, "I am the greatest. The greatest. I am the greatest." Well, Jesus had a lot to say about himself. And in the Gospel of John, there's about seven particular references where Jesus referred to himself and described himself. Some of those are very well known to us. For example, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." And they are all incredibly descriptive and powerful statements. But I want to share one particular statement that Jesus made about himself, which I think is an absolute cracker and very applicable for today. In John 11, verse 25, the context is that two women had come to Jesus because their brother Lazarus had died. And he took a while to get there, but he finally arrived. And he had an interaction with Martha. And in John 11, verse 25, Jesus says this. Jesus said to her, and bear in mind we're talking about the I am statement here. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now that is a statement, folks. Now that statement, unfortunately, is often only ever spoken about at a funeral. Now it's very applicable to a funeral, don't get me wrong. But I think that that statement that Jesus made should just be something that is foremost in our minds, should not just be some sort of interesting idea, but actually should actually impact upon our life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Will never die. Now, last weekend, we talked about the resurrection. And I know Jonathan talked a little bit about death. But I just want to touch on it again because I just think that it's critically important for you and I and all those people who are listening online to understand that we can be set free from the slavery of the fear of death. And that is available to each person here today. We can know a freedom and a liberty by being set free from the fear of death. Have a look with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. The writer of Hebrews had some incredible insights into the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in Hebrews 2, verse 9, we read this. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And I think many of us might have read that and heard that before, but I want to say, folks, do you understand the implications of that? That Jesus has tasted death, not just for a few people, not just for a few people who lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. Jesus has tasted death for everyone, including you and I. Amen? This is good news, folks, that the power of death has been defeated in the life of Jesus. He has tasted death. He has gone ahead of us. He has broken through that barrier. He's released that bondage. He has tasted death for everyone, for you and I, not just people who currently believe, but all future generations. Jesus has tasted death for everyone. He has defeated the power of death. And if you think, what's the big issue about that? We'll go a bit further down in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We read this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, talking about Jesus, shared in their humanity, that by his death he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And when we say the power of death, this is an aside, we're not saying that the devil determines who's going to die, but no, he holds the power of death in terms of the fear of death. That the devil has this power of the fear of death, and Jesus can free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. All their lives. Death is an interesting thing. There's a fear about it, and there's a fascination about it. You know, years ago at a circus, now it's all been changed because of risk management and insurance premiums, but there used to be these death-defying acts. I mean, I remember as a boy going to the circus, and it wasn't the camels and the goats and things jumping through hoops. It was the bloke. It was the bloke on the high wire. There's a few people who can remember this. I know that you folks who are a bit millennial can't. Risk management's destroyed this, but there used to be these high wires, and the person would stand there, and often there wasn't a safety net. And there was this fascination because there was this death-defying act going on. And people were just sort of gripped by it because there was this possibility that they were going to fall and die. No one really wanted that to happen, but there was that possibility. And so death has this fear and this fascination. Our movies and our books are dominated by murders and solving murders. I mean, I happen to watch Vera the other night. You know, I like that. This lady wears this funny hat and a coat and she solves all these mysteries. Death has this fascination about it. But there's also this fear about, because a lot of people don't understand what's going to happen when they die. They're concerned about is there may be a hereafter. And they don't know what the future holds. And so there's this fear about it. And I've met people who profess to be Christians who don't have any assurance about what's going to happen when they die. And they're actually subject to this slavery, that the enemy has got in there and is causing this fear. The good news is that Jesus has tasted death for everyone. He's removed the sting of death. He's defeated the power of death. And when the Father rose up, took him out of the grave and rose him from the dead, he declared for all time that death is defeated. So that's why Jesus can say, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. Amen? Amen. If we believe in Christ, if we're trusting in Christ, he holds on to us. Now, we may be concerned about the road to death and what's going to happen. But folks, we don't have to be concerned about what's going to happen because God is going to hold on to us. The Father loves us. He laid down his life through his Son Jesus for us. He's not going to let us go. He holds on to us. And we can be secure in him. And even though we may falter and we may have failings, God holds on to us and he's going to deliver us from the fear of death because Jesus has tasted death for every man and every woman and every boy and every child. We have a victory in death. A victory. Do you know, folks, if you're trusting in Jesus, you're never going to see death. Other people will see your death. Other people will see it. But you'll be secure in the arms of a loving Father. You go to be with Christ. You won't see death. It'll be seamless. Perfect love casts out all fear. And the God who holds on to us is going to continue to hold on to us. And we can have great assurance in that. We're never going to see death because Jesus has tasted death for everyone. The other day, my wife Joy and I went for a bike ride along a lovely ride between Goolwa and Victor Harbour. And some people may have ridden that or possibly walked that particular route. It's called the Encounter Bikeway. People familiar with the Encounter Bikeway? About three or four, but that's okay. But I didn't see my wife raise her hand there. That was disappointing. But but the reason why it's called the Encounter Bikeway is that in 1802, an English seafarer called Matthew Flinders was charting the coastline of South Australia, and he encountered a French seafarer called, and excuse my French pronunciation, but a chap called Nicolas Baudin. I don't know if that's how you say it, but I like to say it that way. Nicolas Baudin and Matthew Flinders had an encounter. And that's why they're called Encounter Bay, and that's why it's called Encounter Schoolies, and that's why it's called the Encounter Bikeway. And as we were riding that the other day, I was reflecting on an incredible encounter that occurred 2,000 years ago that we celebrated last weekend. Just come with me for a moment to that action that was happening on the cross. And what do we see there? We see an encounter between the domain of darkness and the kingdom of the beloved Son, Jesus. We see an encounter between the prince of the power of the world and, dare I say it, the prince of peace. We see an encounter between the father of lies and our heavenly father. We see an encounter between death and life. We see an encounter between darkness and light. We see an encounter between judgment and mercy. We see an encounter between law and grace. There was an incredible thing going on that cross. It was of cosmic consequences. These encounters, and folks, the good news is that Jesus triumphed over all the forces that came against him at that time. He triumphed over those forces. I want to come with me to the book of Colossians. And in the book of Colossians chapter 2, we read this great summary of what actually happened there. And the Bible says, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So the good news, firstly, is that Jesus has disarmed the powers and the authorities. And they were powerful forces that were coming up against him on the cross. The Bible says at one stage the whole world went black because this amazing cosmic battle was going on between the hordes of Hades and the kingdom of God, between the angelic hosts and the demons of hell. This incredible battle was going on, but Jesus has disarmed the powers and the authorities. And it says he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And that phrase, triumphing over them by the cross, it's the same phrase that was used when a Roman general, after defeating someone, defeating a nation in a battle, would come back into Rome and there'd be this procession. And the vanquished foe who were defeated was sort of marching through the streets. And there was the Roman general leading his army, demonstrating that a huge victory had been won, that the evidence was there that the battle had been completed. Folks, that's what was happening on the cross. That's what we talked about last weekend, that Jesus has disarmed the powers and the authorities. He has triumphed over them by a public spectacle. He has defeated all those forces. We are triumphant not in ourselves, not in our own efforts, not in our own strength, but we are triumphant in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a victory in Christ, not in ourselves, but in Jesus. He triumphed over them by the cross. And folks, you may think, oh yes, that was an interesting life in the church calendar last weekend, but we're ready to move on. We're ready to move on to other things. Well, folks, you never move away from the cross and the resurrection. You don't move away from it. You go deeper into it because it's fundamental. It's life-changing. All that we would ever want is found there, and you don't leave it. You go deeper into it. You go deeper and you discover the riches of God's grace and how much he loves us. And despite our failings and our faults, he has done something incredible in his son Jesus. I've been preaching about this for about 40 years, which if you do the maths means I'm getting on a bit, although I did start pretty young. But I've got to say, folks, I've been talking about this for 40 years and I'm starting to get the hang of it now. I'm starting to appreciate how powerful it is. How powerful it is. And can I say, don't get distracted. Other people will come along and say, oh yeah, you've heard about that stuff, but there's other stuff around, Mark. You've got to get into that. No, no. The cross and the resurrection is where it's at. Last weekend, Joy and I and my sister Julie, who happens to be here today, and her husband Ian, and my other sister Lynette and her husband Rhys, we all travelled to Bright in Victoria to do some cycling. And the people based in Adelaide chose a certain route to get to Bright. Now, I don't know what's happened about maps. People used to have maps. You with me? People used to have hard copies of a thing called maps. Now we bring out these electronic devices and we seem to just rely on them as if they're the source of all truth. Now, GPS stuff is great in cities. I'm a great believer in it. But when it comes to regional South Australia, you can be led astray. And we plotted the route. You type in location, current location, destination, Bright. And there was this particular route that came up on the map. And, you know, I thought I hadn't been that way before, but that's what it says. So we're driving along the Dukes Highway into the Western Highway. Before we get to Dimboola, those who know this area, it said to go left. We start heading off. And, you know, in Victoria, they have A roads and B roads. And as it goes down, you have C roads. Well, we got below the seas. We were, this is true, we were in areas where the bitumen was so narrow that when people came, it was like we should have got the bikes out. It was that narrow. Yeah, we could have ridden on it. Cars come towards you, trucks come towards you, everyone has to go off to one side. You know, it was just, and I thought, this can't be right. We just kept on getting narrower and narrower because we were distracted and we were relying on these GPS coordinates. I've got to say, when we finally got to Bright, I texted a wise man who has travelled many times from the high country around Bright back to Adelaide, Mr. Jonathan Davies here, our senior pastor, who said to me, no, 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 you go back on the Mallee Highway. That's the way. And that's how we did go back. And I've got to say, it was A roads and B roads. And don't get distracted. One stage, Jesus had some words to say and caused disciples to leave. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, are you going to leave also? And Peter said, Lord, where will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Don't get distracted. The cross and the resurrection is where it's all at. That's where it's at. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, the reality is that God has entered into human history, and it's through the cross and the resurrection that he restores creation to himself. Don't get distracted. I want to come back to the resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3 that Jonathan read, there's a particular verse that grabbed my attention recently. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul prays this prayer. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, the first thing Paul says, I want to know Christ. And can I say, folks, the knowing here is not just an intellectual knowledge. It's not just a gathering of facts. It's something such that when you know Christ, it actually transforms your life. It's not just information. I mean, I've got a lot of information in my head, but it's not necessarily transformative. For example, I know that yesterday, Taylor Walker kicked 4 goals for the Crows. Now, I know that. Come on. He could have kicked 6 if he kicked straight. Thank you for that. I encouraged him, but and that's why my voice is a bit sore today. But that's not transformative, although it helps a bit, but it's not really transformative. I know that Henry VIII had a certain number of wives, but that doesn't transform a life. I know how far it is from Adelaide to Bright, using all sorts of different routes, but that doesn't really transform my life. But to know Christ, Paul's prayer was to know Christ. Not know about Christ, but to know Christ, to have a relationship with Christ, to be united with Christ, to see our hope in Christ, to live in Christ. If you know Christ, then he goes on to say, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Folks, my question today is, do you know the power of his resurrection in your life? And just to go a little bit deeper in that, come with me to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. An amazing verse. Paul says this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Now, just for a moment, just try and get your head around this one. Because what was the force that raised Jesus from the dead? What caused Jesus to break through from the powers of hell and death that were holding on to him? What caused him to be resurrected from the grave? What caused the stone to roll away and the bandages to be ripped apart? What caused that? The Bible says the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. It was the Holy Spirit sent from the Father that raised Jesus from the dead. And yet the incredible truth for you and I and for all those listening today is that same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit who dwells in us when you're united with Christ. We sometimes get the idea that this was incredible cosmic power that raised Jesus from the dead, and here's me struggling on in my Christian life, trying to do my best. No, no, we don't get the C spirit or the D spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit who dwells in you if you love Jesus and if you're united with him. Amen. Just raise our expectations a little bit today, folks, and think about what that means. That we don't live the Christian life as if it's a whole lot of rules and regulations and we struggle very hard to do our best. No, God has come to us in Jesus. He fills us with his spirit. He enables us to follow him. He enables us to be filled with the same gifts that impacted Jesus. He enables us to be filled with the spirit to transform our lives. And it's us cooperating with the spirit of God as we live day by day in dependency by him. It's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us right now. It's the same spirit who's here now. And I just want to pray that you might open your lives up afresh to that same Holy Spirit. He wants to impact our lives. He wants to touch our lives. He wants to transform our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we open ourselves to you now. And whether we've heard this sort of message 100 times or 1,000 times or maybe for the first time, I pray, Lord, we might just be open to you. Have your way amongst us. For those of us, Lord, who aren't too sure what this whole Christian thing is about, I pray, Father, that your light will just shine into our lives now. And for those of us who have become a bit stale and perhaps have been distracted, maybe look again to Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. Hallelujah. Touch our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.